Grace and mercy and peace belong to those who turn from their evil ways and live. Words from the prophet Ezekiel after the announcement came that the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you're saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Wasting away is like rotting. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? My dear friends in Christ Jesus, there are satellites and drones above us, sonar in the ocean and radar in the air. There are fences and sensors spread all over the world for one simple reason. We want to watch. We are concerned that something bad is coming, the enemy is coming, and we want to watch and be ready. In California, we are trying to figure out how to give people warning about earthquakes. And we have sensors buried here and there and trying to figure out how to give people more than the 10-second warning we got last time. Because trouble is coming and we need to figure out how to do it. But there are really all kinds of people, in addition to that, who have specifically the job of watching. The police officer cruises up and down the streets while riding in his squad car, yes, but watching. And we have video cameras, and we have people stationed in airplanes watching for submarines and all of the rest of the things. We all understand watchmen. And we all understand how important it is for the watchman to give a clear and unambiguous warning. And one had only hoped and wished that the warnings we had for 9/11 would have come a couple hours earlier, a day ahead of time. And of course, this morning we have right in front of our faces the watchmen that God in his mercy and grace have given to Micah. They're called parents and sponsors. Don't touch that hot stove, kid. You'll burn your hand. Don't play in the street. Watch out for the cars. Hold mommy's hand. And I'm thinking that as the child grows, the warnings just change, but the warning people are still doing their jobs. And of course, parents and grandparents and sponsors join in this most important work. So we all understand what God is talking about when he talks about watchmen. You, son of man, kind of an interesting title for Ezekiel, isn't it? You're a human, which is, of course, what son of man always means. And when Jesus calls himself the son of man, he's reminding us that he's truly human. And when he calls himself the Son of God, of course, then, of course, he's announcing to us that he is also truly divine. But Ezekiel, you are truly human. You are a watchman. I have made you a watchman. And the way that God made Ezekiel a watchman is kind of interesting. The Holy Spirit took charge of him, and all of a sudden in front of him, Ezekiel saw this giant scroll. And God said, eat the book. And Ezekiel ate the book, and it tasted like honey in his mouth. I have put my words in you, God said. There's an old prayer from the Lutheran hymnal that says that as we pray for the scriptures, that we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. That's from Ezekiel. And so God in his mercy and grace puts the book not only into our hands and in our pews, but he puts the book into our hearts. And when you ask the question, who are the watchmen? The answer is all the people that God the Holy Spirit has put his words into their hearts. Those people are the watchmen. And so not only do Micah's watchmen know about hot stoves, but they also know about hell. And part of their work will be to make sure that this little boy knows how to stay out of there. And I'm expecting that when he does his evil work, they will think that they should warn him so that he repents and turns from his evil ways and lives. It is important for all of us to understand that God has made us his watchmen. That God the Holy Spirit has made each one of you the people with the task that Ezekiel was given. And the reason is simple. The sword of the Lord is coming. There is no need for watchmen. There is no need for churches, for parents, for sponsors, if there is no sword. If there is no problem and everything is getting better in life, if there are no spiritual dangers for the people around us, then God is wasting his time making every one of you his watchman. But because the sword is really coming, so the question might come whether we really want to hear this raucous alarm at 3:30 in the morning. Well, if it's telling me that an earthquake is coming, don't ask me whether I want to hear it or not. It's a stupid question. Don't ask whether the people wish to be warned or not. Don't ask whether they want to be roused from their lethargy, told that there's a big problem coming. No, most people don't want to hear this. And if watchmen decide whether or not we're going to watch and warn based on what people might do, oh, they're not going to listen to me anyway, Pastor. Son of man, go stand up there, and if the people will listen to you, then you can say something. But if they're not going to listen, then don't bother. God sent Ezekiel to a people who refused to listen. That's why they were in Babylon. That's why the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, because they wouldn't listen. And because they wouldn't listen, God brings his judgment, and then he sends the witness. And the prophet Ezekiel has this great privilege of warning God's people. And so, please do not ask Micah whether he wants to sleep or not, whether he wants to eat or not. And, of course, my grandson, if polled, would not agree that he should have his diaper changed. What watchman thinks like that? That we're so concerned about what somebody might think about God's warning. The more important question is to ask, do we understand why God gives this warning? He doesn't want people to go to hell. And he gives this warning to you to make sure that you tell everybody. It's what watchmen do. In the text in Ezekiel, there are two very big warnings. And the first one is a warning for me. Son of man, if you see the sword coming and you do not warn the wicked, they will surely die. but I am going to require their blood of your hand. Their blood is on your head. I wish these words were not in the Bible. Because like a giant mirror that shows me perfectly and clearly my many, many sins. Oh, I wish I would have said something. Oh, if I had only thought about this, you know, I just never got around to making that phone call or making that visit. My silence and my failures do not make it better. The wicked will surely die. And now God says that, Pastor Weedman, you have blood on your hands. Perhaps you understand the same problem. That there is a long list of people that you wish you would have said something to. That you wish you wouldn't have said, oh, they'll just get mad anyway and not said a word. They will surely die. And God is requiring their blood of your hands. This is about accountability and responsibility. This is words of warning to you. God becomes your watchman. And he calls each one of you to understand what is the work and purpose and mission of the light in the darkness. It is to make sure the darkness sees and understands the warning. No, it does not want to listen. Darkness is darkness. It will plug its ears and ignore the words. The purpose of the watchman is simple and clear. It is to warn. The watchman cannot stop the sword of God. The watchman cannot make people listen. But he dare not fail to stand on the walls of God's house and proclaim God's warning, because that's what God has put into your hearts and mine. There is in these words also another warning. It is a plain and clear warning to the wicked who plug their ears and refuse to listen to the words of warning that are spoken by God's people. Who gives you the right to tell me that? What business is it of yours that I do this or that? We are free in Christ. We can do whatever we want. And they plug their ears and close their eyes and walk away from the warning. They will surely die. We need to understand that the eternal consequences of people's lives are at stake here. It is not okay to ignore the warning of God. It is not okay to despise what you say. Oh, it's just my mom talking. I hope Micah never says that. But the Bible has said to Micah in plain and clear words, that if he will not listen to his parents, he is not listening to Jesus. And if he is not listening to Jesus, he is despising his Father in heaven. And the incredible blessing is the same. The one that hears you is hearing me, Jesus says. And the one who hears you hears my Father in heaven. It is interesting having atheist relatives, because, of course, words like this, you will surely die, makes them say, see, the God of the Bible is a bloodthirsty and vengeful God. All he cares about is getting his own way, and he will slaughter millions of people, billions of people, and he doesn't care. Jesus has more blood on his hands than any other person in all of history. I'm so glad that I'm no longer under those rules and I don't have to listen to that constant feeling of guilt. I'm not going to die. It's too bad that they don't really read Ezekiel. The children of Israel ignored the words of the prophets for 400 years. And the people who say that God has no mercy and God has no grace and God has no patience ought to stand for 400 years and warn people who won't listen. Talk about patience. And then when he brings his judgment, he only carries off a few into Babylon, like Ezekiel and Daniel. Most of the people are still there. The temple is still going on, although inside its walls they were worshiping the sun, moon, and stars. And it was almost 20 years later that the Babylonians came once again and burned the temple to the ground and hauled off the holy things and put them in the temples of the gods of Babylon. Because, of course, this is a spiritual war, they thought. And the gods of Babylon are always stronger than Jehovah. And then this godless people of God were hauled off into captivity, and it was merciful and gracious if you got to Babylon. Those are the people that are talking in this text. Ezekiel gets the message, the temple has been destroyed, and he marks the date. And the people say, what good is repenting? What good is being sorry? God has burdened us, our sins and offenses weigh down on us, and we're rotting away here. We're not going to live. It's the collapse of Christianity in America. God has abandoned us. He is not going to forgive sinners. They're awful and wicked. People of God, understand what it means when God calls himself the living God. This is a God who has as the center of the purpose of his love to cause life. He is the one who created all living things. And of all of the things that you... What does God want? God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to make sure that no one perishes, but everyone comes to repentance. He wants to make sure, because of his love for the world, that you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do you want to die? And so the words of a merciful and compassionate God are the great wonder of the Bible. To these wicked and perverse people who would not listen to the words of warning, the people like us with blood on our hands because we will not speak the words of warning, the people like us who plug our ears when God warns and says, I don't have to do that. Do I have to go to church? Well, yes, actually. But that's not why you go. You go because the Holy One of Israel is saying, why will you die, O house of Israel? Repent, repent. The Hebrew word is turn. Think about a U-turn. You're going in the wrong direction and God turns you around and heads you from death to life. Repent and live. And so the watchman stands on the walls of Israel and preaches both law and gospel. The wicked will surely die, and we have blood on our hands. But the God of grace and mercy, the God of infinite patience, who is slow to anger, that God knows how to wash the blood off of these hands, to cleanse my heart from sin and my life from lethargy. Repent and live. That promise It's so much fun to preach. Those promises are so certain and so sure that we enjoy them now and forever. Join me in understanding the mission and purpose of this church. You are the watchman. You are the watchman given this warning from God. But you also are the watchman who hold in your hands the wonder of the gospel. So we can go to the wicked, all of them, and say, "Repent and live. God has washed your hands." Amen.